I hope you are all doing fantastic. Welcome back to another podcast. I am particularly excited about this podcast because in today's episode called America's Favorite Famous Hillbilly, we will be talking about Dolly Parton, her story, and her influence on popular artists and American culture. First, I want to tell you why I chose Dolly Parton as the subject. Dolly is a prolific country singer and songwriter, and I truly admire her story. Her understanding of people's feelings have helped her connect with her audience, and in doing so, shape American culture. But wait, before you hear more of Dolly's music, I should share some background information about this amazing artist. Dolly Parton grew up from literal rags to riches. The Library of Congress website says that she was born in the Appalachian Mountains in Locust Ridge, Tennessee, in a tobacco farming family, on June 19, 1926. She was the fourth born of 11 siblings and lived under one roof with one bedroom and one bathroom and no indoor plumbing. Her father was illiterate, yet still very hardworking. Dolly says that she gets all of her drive and determination from him. She was the first member of her family to graduate high school. Today, Dolly Parton is a multimillionaire who shares her fortune, talent, and wealth with the world through museums and donating generously to charities. She has written almost 3,000 songs, starting from when she was only 5 years old. Yes, she wrote her first song when she was five. Crazy, right? She says, "I truly do believe the early bird gets the worm," in an interview with Cope Graham. Throughout the years, Dolly has been interviewed on many talk shows and made many movies. According to the Library of Congress, Dolly's first big hit was her 1971 solo single, Joshua. Wikipedia says Joshua is about an adventurous young girl who dares to visit the poverty of a rural recluse who has a reputation for being mean and hostile. I think the song reflects Dolly and the stereotypes put upon her. Since Dolly is from the country, people especially love to put stereotypes on them, such as their accents, and that they live so far away from other people that they seem reclusive. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know. And I'm going to interrupt this podcast with a quick word from our sponsor. In honor of Dolly Parton's favorite color, pink, today's sponsor is Starbucks. Starbucks serves all kinds of delicious beverages as well as foods. You should try one of our most famous drinks, our pink drink. It is a mix of chopped berries, accents of passion fruit, and acai with coconut milk. I highly recommend it. Personally, it's one of my favorites. You can come to any of our locations on Claiborne Avenue, Loyola Avenue, or Magazine Street, or order online at www.starbucks.com and use the code Dolly for 15% off. And now we're back. Now let's talk about where the amazing Dolly Parton found her inspiration. The Library of Congress states that she was inspired by female country music pioneers such as Rose Maddox, Molly O'Day, Kitty Wells, Brenda Lee, and Patsy Cline. Wikipedia says that Rose Maddox was a famous country hillbilly and gospel singer. Oxford Dictionary defines a hillbilly as an unsophisticated country person, associated originally with the remote regions of the Appalachians. Dolly Parton is a good example of a hillbilly, as she herself states she is a country gal, and since she is from the Appalachians. According to Graham Hope on the website JSTOR, in a 2014 interview with Southern Living, Parton claimed the hillbilly moniker, as she's long done, saying, "To me, that's not an insult. We were just mountain people. We were really redneck, roughneck, hillbilly people, and I'm proud of it. White trash, I am." As mentioned before, Dolly grew up from nothing. She started her career with a well-known country singer named Porter Wagner and was introduced on his television show. According to Wikipedia, Dolly worked with him for 7 years until she eventually said goodbye to him in her famous "I Will Always Love You." Throughout the song, the vocals are very strong. The song's tone makes the singer sound very powerful. In this hit, Dolly is saying goodbye to Wagner when she has made her decision to leave his show. She is thanking him for her time on his show and for being introduced to the world. Another famous song by Dolly that I personally love is "Coat of Many Colors." Back through the years, I go wandering once again. In this song, Dolly tells the story of her famous coat of many colors that her mama made for her. Someone had given her family a small box of rags and she did not have a coat at the time. Dolly tells the listener the way her mama made her coat. Mama sewed every piece with love and blessed it with a kiss. As her mama sewed, she told Dolly a story from the Bible about Joseph's coat of many colors. As Dolly sings, her voice starts to sound rather pleading, pleading for people to understand her.
Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece with
Dolly Parton sings, "Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be." She was so proud of her coat and loved it so much. She wore it to school and the other kids laughed and made fun of her for her coat since it was made of rags and not store-bought.
About a coat of many colors, Joseph wore and then she said...
Dolly did not let the other kids' words get to her. She stood up and brushed herself off and moved on. She sings that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. What Dolly means by this, that wealth is not solely the abundance of money. It is your joy and happiness that counts.
Many colors that my mama made for me, made only from...
These Dolly Parton songs remind me of August Wilson's play, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Ma Rainey is a black American artist. Ma and Dolly both overcome obstacles. However, they handle them in very different ways. Ma deals with her problems by overpowering the other people and enforcing her dominance. For example, on Act 2, on page 76 to 77, Ma refuses to start recording until she gets a Coca-Cola and sends her nephew and her bass player to get her one. Ma yells at the manager, "You know I don't see nothing without my Coca-Cola." This situation is a good example of how Ma uses her power to get her way. She holds up recording, all because of the lack of a Coke, and insisting that her nephew sing the opening part, knowing that his stutter will make everything all the more difficult. While on the other end of the spectrum, when Dolly runs into a problem, she tries to make others understand her and her side of the story. For example, in Coat of Many Colors, she sings that she tried to make the other kids understand her and her coat. If you think about it, Ma Rainey and Dolly Parton were both born at a disadvantage. Ma's disadvantage was being a black lesbian woman in the 1920s, and Dolly was born into poverty in the country. But despite their disadvantages, these two prolific artists have helped shape the history of music and American culture. Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You and Coat of Many Colors relate to Ava Max's Every Time I Cry.
I had a dream that I was sinking slow motion. Every superficial moment I get overwhelmed in all the messy emotions.
As you listen, you will hear connections between the three songs as well as the artist's attitudes. The chorus, "Every time I cry, I get a little bit stronger," reminds me of the way Dolly handles her rough times, such as the Coat of Many Colors incident. Whenever either artist gets pushed down, they get back up and are stronger than their past self. In Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You, she sings, "Bittersweet memories, that's all I'm taking with me. So goodbye, please don't cry." This is similar to how in both Every Time I Cry and Coat of Many Colors, the singer is saying goodbye to all the negative energy they are experiencing and growing from it. All of these artists relate to American culture by highlighting courage, strength, and independence. Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You is about a strong, independent woman, herself, surpassing the man who has introduced her to the world through his show. Dolly has outgrown him and is beginning to come into her own status as a confident, independent woman. During World War II, when men were off at war, the factories were neglected, and women were needed to keep them running. After the war, the next generation of women made it clear that they wanted to continue working and have a new role in society. Dolly's song would have meant a lot to these women, especially the poor women at the time. Dolly's life and her songs support this country's belief that no matter how poor you are, you always have an opportunity. This is why the United States of America is known as the Land of Opportunity. And that will wrap up today's podcast. Make sure to tune in next week when we discuss the Earth. Is it flat or is it round? Don't miss out. We will have a few guest speakers battling it out. That's all for today. I hope to see y'all again next week.
When the voices get loud, I'm turning.